Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Bellstar,
and the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona, and the world at large.
We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call, 646-915-8421. Email thctucson@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, visit us on MySpace, or tweet with us on Twitter.
Our sponsors for Weed Day Wednesday are Growers House, Accurate Med Testing, azmarijuana.com, and Culture Magazine.
We would like to thank Tumbleweed Health Center and Studio C for hosting our show every week. Along with the lowest price certifications in town, you'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things educational related to medical cannabis.
Visit Tumbleweed Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedhealthcenter.com.
And remember,
be smart, be safe, and educate.
Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday.
Good morning.
Good morning. Woo-hoo. Wow,
how
that was like, I'm good. I forgot to do everything I wanted to do this morning for the show.
It's okay.
And you just rocked it.
Boom, fist pump.
Yeah, you rocked it. Good morning, Cannabis Kid.
Good
how
morning.
Are you?
I'm doing great.
Yeah?
It's a nice morning.
And, it's a beautiful morning. It's gorgeous here in Tucson, Arizona.
Our high is a 68 today. It's actually our little...
You said we're high is 68 today. No, our high. No, it's
our high is 68.
Our high is 68 today.
I don't know what your high is right now. But...
OG high. That's what my high is right now. Hello, Grandma.
Oh, good morning.
Tech guy, how are you? We got a thumbs up from the tech guy. There you go. Oh my gosh, beautiful day.
Beautiful day.
We've 60 got, and sunny now, and we've got all sorts of stuff going on this morning.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Chicago Moms from Marijuana coming on. We've got some reading from Culture Magazine, and some news from azmarijuana.com. We also have the director's blog from the Arizona Medical Marijuana Program. We got that in the inbox this morning, so we'll read what's going on with the... Arizona.
And the world at
large. And Arizona at large.
Arizona at large.
And Arizona at large. yeah, so we'll be doing that. And I have a really fun book that I want to read from this morning, and it's actually the Marijuana Chef Cookbook. I know not normally something you read from, tell stories from, but this is a really great book.
What we really wanted to talk about is other ways to enjoy your cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
And we do talk about, vaporizing, smoking, however you want to ingest this plant. But cooking can be a really amazing thing, not to mention a stress reliever.
Mm-hmm.
I find cooking to be a very big stress reliever, just like, gardening or something like that would be. And,
very therapeutic.
And I think when you're cooking your own food and you know what's in it, you actually...
You enjoy it more. Yeah, you do.
And it's a lot healthier.
Safer.
Plus, you're using a medicinal product in your cooking, so it's definitely going to be something you're going to enjoy a lot more 30 minutes after the meal.
Yes.
Which, because depending on what you're cooking with, you will get a certain, either a relief or we wanted to change the word of high.
An overall feeling of well-being.
Yes.
There you go.
That was great.
Overall feeling of well-being.
Overall feeling of well-being.
So, and we were just doing a little research about decarboxylization of cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, if you don't know what that is, what that big fancy word I just used and maybe messed up. When you consume cannabis and you're heating it up to a certain degree, you're going to molecularly change the structure. So there's a THCA, turns into THC, which makes you high. But you have to heat the plant to a certain level for this to happen. So in cooking, or actually in tincture making, we found an article about what you do to get the high out of a tincture, because there were reports that people were making tinctures and they weren't feeling the high effects that they wanted to feel, the euphoric, you know, the energetic effects maybe as much.
Which some people
like.
Think and like, but some people think that that's what it is to use cannabis.
Right, right. It's not just that.
It's not
that's
just that.
Part of it. I mean, and for some people, that's a really great part of it. So they wanted to know how you get the high out of making tincture. Well, you have to, like we said, you have to heat it. So there's an article here on, it's a marijuana growers article, but they say that the deal is THCA is found in abundance in growing and harvesting cannabis. It's a biosynthetic precursor of THC, which is the compound that gets you high, quote unquote. So decarboxylation is a chemical reaction that releases carbon dioxide, and this means that a reaction takes place in which carbolic acids lose a carbon atom from a carbon chain, THCA to THC.
Uh-huh,
okay,
uh-huh.
They're just explaining a little bit of the science. They're actually going to explain easy steps to decarboxylate your cannabis. And they say that consumer-grade ovens are not always exact, so they use a temperature of 240 degrees Fahrenheit. This should produce quick results without losing any medical potency. And 30 minutes seem like a nice round number for a first test and should give the keef or trim plenty of time to come up to temperature.
Mm-hmm.
So they're using both keef and trim.
Nice.
Yeah.
And this is the same process that happens when you light your joint, when you vaporize, it allows, it's turning that THCA into THC, which allows you to feel the overall feeling of well-being.
Right. So you basically just allow your cannabis to heat for 30 minutes at 240 degrees, bring it out, let it cool, and then you can... You can use it, and
this is really
intense. They go on to show a whole chart
and
before the decarboxylation and after, and how long, and the effects of if you cook it longer, you'll lose some potency there. You don't want to do it too much; just kind of just
right.
It's
a right middle kind of thing.
Yep.
An equal balance.
Well done.
Mm-hmm.
Well done steaks.
Well done steaks.
Well done steaks.
You don't want well done steaks.
No. Medium.
Yeah.
Medium. That's what it would be. Maybe medium. All right. So let's see. Where is that director's blog? I wanted to take a look at that and just give everybody a little snippet about what's going on in Arizona while we wait for Chicago Moms. This is something that when you get certified and this you give Tumbleweeds Health Center your email, this is why. Because the state of Arizona will update you with director's blogs, currently state-approved dispensaries, news and information. They even have clinical studies and trials that you can actually be a part of a marijuana clinical study, cannabis clinical studies. Isn't that awesome? So it says, and here's something really, 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 really important. Listen up, Arizonans. Applicants for medical marijuana cards must wait to receive their cards before possessing or acquiring the substance. Applicants cannot use the approval email from the Arizona Department of Health Services or communication from certification centers as authorization to possess or use marijuana.
I get that.
So there you go. You are not valid to use cannabis as a medical patient until you get that card in your hand. And actually, these days, we're hearing it's taking like 2 to 4 days. They're cranking them out, so don't be afraid. It's going to take weeks and weeks and weeks. It could, but usually right now it's just a few days, and you get your card, and it's a pretty simple process. Come on down to Tumbleweeds Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We're in the back. Yes, we moved three times. We're only one parking lot over, so don't be scared. The Arizona Medical Marijuana Act, AMMA, states that there is a presumption that a qualifying patient or designated caregiver is engaged in the medical use of marijuana pursuant to the AMMA if he or she is in possession of a registry identification card. So there you go. A person who is not in possession of a card may not receive the presumption that he or she is engaged in the medical use of marijuana pursuant to the AMMA. So there you have it. SNAP eligibility. Patients, this is for food stamps. Mm-hmm. If you have food stamps and you're going to come get certified, patients must provide proof of eligibility for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, also known as SNAP. And you, in order to receive the discount, to prove eligibility, patients can submit a copy of their SNAP EBT card with their name imprinted on it or a letter from the Arizona Department of Economic Security showing that they've been approved. Copies must be uploaded when applying for or renewing a state issue card. And patients who are SNAP eligible may receive $75 discount on the medical marijuana application fee. The application fee without the discount is $150 a year. There you go.
Totally worth it, everyone. Totally worth it.
ADHS stakeholder meetings. Check this out. ADHS plans to conduct stakeholder meetings regarding the proposed changes to the medical marijuana program rules. Patients interested in participating in the meeting should provide their concerns and contact information at, and here I'm going to give you the email address, m2programsupport@azdhs.gov, and that's M and the number 2, programsupport@azdhs.gov. Draft rules are available for review, and they give you a link there as well.
We'll put that up on the website.
Yeah, we'll put that up on our, actually, I'm going to, you've got the blog going? I'll put it on the blog and you can put it on Facebook, but if you want to participate in this, and this is really, really great, you should, everyone should participate and know the rules, there you go. Oh, that didn't work. We'll figure it out. We're still waiting for Chicago what? Moms for Marijuana. We just don't, when tech problems come up, we just forget it. We don't just want to deal with them anymore. So that's what's happening there. You also get a list of operating dispensaries. There are quite a few. And next May 2015, they're going to start accepting applications for the next round of the drawing of dispensaries. There's 50-something left, I believe, I think, something like that.
Here in Tucson? Right, in Arizona,
yeah. Let's see. Here's a fast fact. All right. About 71% of applicants for medical marijuana patient cards listed severe and chronic pain as the nature of the disabling condition. Wow, that's gone down quite a bit. Remember that statistic was up in the 90s, I believe, like 90-something. That's gone down to 71%. Other reasons cited were multiple conditions, 19.2%, cancer, 2.4%, hepatitis C at 1.5%, muscle spasms at 1.2%, glaucoma, 0.9%, nausea was 0.9%, seizures 0.7%. Coaxia, wasting syndrome was 0.1, and Crohn's disease was 0.5%. You know what we heard was really good for Crohn's disease? Hemp oils. They're very high in CBD. Yeah, it's right on in there. Very good for nausea, inflammation,
right.
Irritability, pain.
Anytime anyone has any problems with the stomach or mm-hmm. the gut.
Mm-hmm.
Edibles are really great because it goes down.
It gets into your bloodstream.
Gets in there first because there's...
Processes through your liver.
Right. Well, there's receptors in your intestines all the way down. And so when those are stimulated, activated by the THC that you're ingesting, it actually works a lot better than actually smoking it.
Hmm. Well, there you have it.
There you have it,
folks, right from Cannabis Kid. All right, here's another question we get all the time at tumbleweedcellcenter.com. Had to do it, sorry.
Wow, that was cute.
I know, so
cute. I like it.
Employee rights. Workers in Arizona have more protection than those in other states to consume medical marijuana and still hold jobs. Experts agree. Arizona is among 20 states and the District of Columbia to legalize medical marijuana. Employers in Arizona are prohibited from discriminating against patients with medical marijuana cards unless, quote, an employer would lose a monetary or licensing-related benefit under federal law or regulations, quote. according to the Medical Marijuana Act, AMMA. Most states don't have this anti-discrimination clause that a labor and employment lawyer with a Phoenix law firm. Clearly, we have had this issue, the lawyer said. Employees have protection if discharged, and they have a medical marijuana card. The tricky part for employers, she said, is when an employee or job candidate tests positive for marijuana and is then terminated or the job offer is revoked despite having a medical marijuana card. Those eligible to use medical marijuana must be diagnosed by an Arizona board-certified physician with an AMMA-approved debilitating medical condition, register with the state-administered program, receive a medical marijuana card, and may purchase up to 2.5 ounces of marijuana every 2 weeks from a licensed dispensary. About 40,000 Arizona residents have registered with the state and are qualified to use medical marijuana. Because marijuana is considered medicine, Arizona patients may find protection if they lose their jobs or are discriminated against in getting a job, although employers may also find protection under the AMMA. A Phoenix lawyer states employers are often alarmed and think, oh my gosh, what are the workers going to do? Well, that's what's happened to an employee of Goodwill Industries of Central Arizona. He was fired after testing positive for marijuana. In October, an appeals board with the Arizona Department of Economic Security ruled in the employee's favor and awarded him unemployment benefits.
So yes. Awesome.
Traces of marijuana stay in the body for days or even weeks after use, and it can be unclear when marijuana was consumed. Unlike alcohol, which stays in the body for a relatively short period of time, the timing of marijuana use is difficult to pinpoint. House Bill 2541, first regular session in 2011, helped employers navigate the change in employment laws pertaining to drug testing of employees and protection for employers. More importantly, the employment law clearly defined the term impairment with a set of symptoms such as slurred speech, the inability to walk, and strange behavior.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, the employment law clarified that employees may exclude, reassign, or place the employee on paid or unpaid leave based on the employee's good faith belief that the drug could cause an impairment or otherwise decrease or lessen the employee's job performance or ability to perform the employee's job duties. The law especially applies to workers in safety-sensitive jobs. That's
like
how we say it.
Like
safety-sensitive
it.
Jobs. As noted in the AMMA, the existence
of...
Forklift operator.
Large trucks. Semi.
Pilots. School bus drivers.
Great. I love this.
As noted in the AMMA, the existence of marijuana metabolites may not necessarily mean that an employee is under the influence of marijuana while at work. The law also states that an employer can take action against patients if they used or possessed marijuana on the work site or during work hours. Although state law protects employers and employees alike, the Arizona Department of Health Services, ADHS, administers the medical marijuana program and cannot make a determination of whether an employee is discriminating against the patient. Additionally, ADHS cannot provide legal advice, recommendations, or representation for cardholders who may want to pursue legal action against or on behalf of an employer. Wow. Well, that's a lot. Well, that's great, though. Safety-sensitive jobs.
That was definitely something that I've had people ask about is the, well, aren't you worried about work and things like that? And I'm like, well, this the way I see cannabis, it's no different than any other pharmaceuticals out there that people take. You know, how are you supposed to be on a medication, and not be able to take it when you need to?
Well, exactly. And I don't think they've made the same rules for, Vicodin, Dilaudid, Morphine, Oxycodone,
all those things.
None of this
has been ever talked about.
No, I don't, and it's maybe we're setting a precedent for all of the drugs,
mm-hmm.
For all of them. Everybody should be...
Well, it's going to make us, I think, as a country, going to let us take a closer look at every single drug
mm-hmm.
again and say, hey, and reevaluate why they're being put into these different categories and some are needing to be taken out of different categories.
This is absolutely true.
So,
and yes, some just don't need to even be any category.
Exactly.
And
cigarettes and alcohol, cannabis, we already know, a lot safer.
Yeah.
Belle, did you know that I know we had talked about this before, But the AMMA allows the department to issue one dispensary registration certificate for every 10 pharmacies in the state.
So that doesn't, there's not...
Not enough yet.
Wow. Yeah.
So we need more.
So there are going to be a lot more.
Uh-huh.
A lot more.
Walker, what was it, a CVS down here on the corner?
Yeah.
I mean Walgreens
one
and CVS
on every
are
corner
almost
right where we are.
One.
There's like, yeah, well.
So you think about it. For every...
Wow. There needs to be a lot more. Well, maybe that's what the rules, the changing of the rules is going to be about, and they want input from patients and probably doctors and certification centers and everybody else. Tech guy. I'm sure they want tech guy down there. Gosh, you wouldn't. Jeez.
Yeah.
He's like, don't do it.
And it says, dispensaries were distributed throughout the state using the community health analysis areas, which is the CHA map. One dispensary is allowed per CHA at this time. So as the years go on, now I know that you were talking about another thing happening next year, 2015,
they're opening up the lottery again. If you want a dispensary and you've got $150,000, $155,000, you need a $5,000 lottery ticket fee. Your little bingo ticket number is $5,000. And if you've got $150,000 sitting around in a bank account.
Cash. Cool liquid assets.
Cool hard cash. And you want a dispensary, then that's how you do it. You apply.
Now's the time.
Next May is the time.
Start working on it because before you know it, it'll be right here. And
just like little Billy and where the rest of the grows,
you start doing lemonade stands.
That's right.
Bake sales.
You could clean swimming pools.
Babysit. Dog walk.
Oh my gosh, we're on fire. All right.
I'm just saying, you have some time. If
you've
you
got
want
a little
to
time,
own a
if
dispensary, make
brownies. Get a bake sale. Sorry, a baked. Sale. All right. Speaking of baking, check this out. I've discovered, we get so many questions at Tumbleweed
about
Center
cooking.
And
other ways to use the cannabis.
Yeah, because there are a lot of people that are coming in that are older, 60, 70 plus, and they've never even seen cannabis other than the books they're, seeing around the health center. Yeah, or just maybe from Sanjay Gupta stories or something. And they don't want to smoke it. They don't want to vaporize it. They don't want to do the wax and the oils.
I don't want to do it.
They want to cook with it. They want to do it themselves. They want a little tincture that they can may or may not experience a high from. And let's see. This is a book available at Tumbleweeds Health Center. Come on down. It's called The Marijuana Chef Cookbook. Page 1. And this is by S.T. Owner. All right, there's a little cultural history that I really liked because when I started reading, I didn't understand why we weren't just jumping into cooking, but that's just me, the American side of me wanted to just get going. But check this out. Using Marijuana, Chapter 1. I'm going to read just a little.
Just a little.
This is awesome. There are many reasons why people choose to cook with marijuana, ranging from concerns about the health risk of smoking to the convenience of being able to carry the drug discreetly. Some medical marijuana users prefer eating the plant to smoking it, since many are not recreational drug users or cigarette smokers.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, they're not accustomed to inhaling. The resultant high from eating marijuana can be a very pleasant experience in and of itself, and many people treating themselves with marijuana prefer to cook with the plant. When it is eaten, marijuana's effects range from mild to intense. While there have not been any recorded overdoses as a result of smoking marijuana, the effects of marijuana can be very intense when eaten. If not consumed in moderation, Sonic Wendy, marijuana can induce dizziness, vomiting, and extreme anxiety. Knowing the potential effects that the drug can have on your body will help you weigh the benefits and risks of adding marijuana to your diet. So this is what we tell everybody that is considering consuming edibles or anything of that nature. It's just like cooking. You can always add,
but
you can't take away.
Mm-hmm.
So when you try something, please start small. Mm-hmm. If you get a brownie, seriously take a bite. And that's it.
Well, even cooking with it.
And
cooking
let it
with
sit
the,
for 30 to...
The correct amount.
60 minutes. And the biggest side effect of too much, too many bites of brownies is sleep.
You're knocked out.
Some people haven't been known to become nauseous
and
a little panicky.
So here's my question. Now, I know that there's lots of different
out.
Strains out there. So why, if you use a more heavy indica when you're cooking, you will get a more like relaxing, sleepy time,
drowsy
effect.
Yeah.
Now, if you use a sativa cooking,
do this. You're ready to go.
You could like definitely get some
experience
stuff done.
Energy. Yeah. Euphoria. More euphoric.
Creativity.
So be sure to know what you're cooking with. I think that's Cannabis Kid's point right there.
Yes, exactly.
And so as we talked about the decarboxylation. There you go. Just make your buds available for the hash. So they talk about THC, the main ingredient. The most potent of all the chemicals contained in marijuana is tetrahydrocannabinol, or delta-9 THC. THC comes in many forms called isomers. The THC isomers are subgroups of cannabinoids, monoterpene compounds, of which at least 50 have been isolated. The interaction of these cannabinoids cause a high that varies from strain to strain and gives each plant its distinct scent.
This is where we talk about the terpenes. And terpenes.
For example, some highs tend to be more euphoric, while others cause drowsiness and relaxation. When marijuana is eaten, depending on the ingestion method, the psychoactive effects are dramatically different due to the various pathways through which the chemicals are absorbed into the body.
That's what I loved.
Right on.
When marijuana is smoked or inhaled, the THC transduces almost instantly through the thousands of capillaries on the surface of the lungs. Increasing the contact with the capillaries increases the amount of THC in the smoke that will, in turn, be assimilated into the bloodstream. As a rule, marijuana smoke should be held in the lungs for at least 20 seconds and up to 50 seconds in order to absorb the maximum amount
of
THC.
We're all snickering over here because most people would pass out after that or closing your breath.
Now,
we've heard contradictory reports on this.
And
very contradictory to the extreme of you just get it in a second or two and let it back out because all it needs to do is hit the capillaries in your...
And you've got it.
So that is a little...
I want to do a little more research on that, and we'll bring this up to...
So if you want to get more THC, you do 2 seconds. If you want to get more of the tars and the, you know, the harshness, you know, then hold it in longer. And that's why people
cough
so much, is they hold it in
really
and they're like,
Right, there's
you
no
don't need
reason.
To. No need to.
No reason.
All right. Read on.
Once in the bloodstream, the THC travels to the brain where it binds to certain receptors. Receptors that appear to be designed specifically for this task. The presence of this receptor is often used to bolster the theory that ancient genetic link exists between humans and cannabis. Another school of thought maintains that THC mimics a natural chemical anandamide, which also
binds these receptors.
The anandamide is found in areas of the brain that regulate memory, coordination of movement, and emotions. Most prescribed drugs attempt to duplicate the body's own chemical process, but are decidedly
not
natural.
Yeah.
Whereas THC seems to be an all-natural drug that helps the body continue to function normally.
I want to read that again because that was something I thought was a really great statement. It says, most prescribed drugs attempt to duplicate the body's own chemical process. So when you're taking drugs, what the doctors and everyone, they're just trying, I mean, the theory is the pills, whatever you're taking, is supposed to initiate your own body's defense mechanism, healing mechanisms, but they're not natural. And it says THC is.
Well, the one thing is when you're putting a chemical into your body, now your body knows. It's almost like, it's like a computer. When you put the right information in, you get the right information out. So when you put wrong chemicals in,
yeah,
which your body doesn't understand.
Right, or know how to use.
Or how to use, like alcohol is one that has a hard time in the body.
Yep, overdoing
over time. Nicotine, caffeine.
Even caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, then you got your
sugars,
vitamins and a lot of
and then you got
don't
your,
even go
yeah, and then you got yeah. into your prescription drugs.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, yeah, it's there's a lot to know, but that's mm-hmm. why we do the radio show, and it's why we play my favorite song.
And this is where those cannabinoids come into play.
Yeah, and cannabinoids dance. Like this song's going to make you.
Puff, 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 puff,
into my house, like, what up, I got some good pot, I'm just pumped up, got some herb from the pot shop, ice in my fridge, it used to be frosty, my friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey, rolling in hella high, looking like it's pizza time, dominating all my friends, as I eat some chili fries, draped in a snuggie with my girl sitting next to me, probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of iced tea, but shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking it. About to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks. Reese's Pieces are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cottonmouth has been creeping up. But can't remember where I put my keys. Yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real. Ask your grandpa. Can I take a 65? DeVille cruise in to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with two super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos. I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's. And then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs would be like, aw, oh, they got volcanoes.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome.
What you know about the science of marijuana? What you know about people suffering from glaucoma? They need it, it helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy, Richard Nixon is the president who made the plant illegal. But science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector's fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, pharmaceutical prisons, I'll take those four major lobby groups and fight those motherfuckers. They're making money day and night, all those motherfuckers, and bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. They'd be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. I'm like, how many people are you making wealth? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interest. I call that getting swindled and pimp shit. I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old, so it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peak game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't. Not hella won't.
Hey Obama, stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome. Let's end the war on drugs. It's time to hold on love. These special interest groups are nothing more than corporate thugs. Let's end the war on weed. The people have agreed. These special interest groups have kept these laws with bribery. I'm gonna smoke some weed.
Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome.
Oh.
Sorry, Mom.
Sorry, Mom. Sorry, Mama Kid. Mama Cannabis Kid doesn't like that song. I just found out because they swear too much. Just a little too out of control, but it's still my favorite. Sorry, I love it. I love it. All right. What's up? Should we continue reading where we left off so that they can be educated?
I just want to talk about a really cool magazine that's out there. It's called Culture Magazine. And
it's online, too.
It's online, too, and you can also find them on Facebook. Great articles for the Arizona At Large crew here in Arizona. And
oh, they rock.
You can find out lots of information. Some of the best dispensaries are advertising in there.
They've got, Tumbleweed Health
Center. That's why I said.
And we just got a really cool link from a blogger. Thank you, blogger. This is awesome. This is why we love blogging.
Nice.
The case for the whole cannabis plant, for some being treated with cannabis for their epilepsy, CBD alone is not enough. So we'll read a little bit about this because they took the time to send it to us. This is great. CBD for epilepsy is showing increasing hope for treatment, and the specific extract is getting attention nationwide, and specific legislation is being enacted in many states like Arizona to allow parents and patients to access CBD specifically. This is a good thing. However, many other people advocate for the whole plant, with anecdotal evidence that supports the idea that there are other things in the cannabis plant called cannabinoids, up to and including THC, that are possibly also helpful to seizures, even emergency doses during a seizure. And you can read, it takes whole marijuana plant to save girl with epilepsy.
Just a comment
a video
on
too.
This.
Yeah.
It's interesting to know that, yes, we're noticing that the CBD is working in people, but it's because it's the plant. It's going in as a plant chemical. And that's why it's working.
Well, and this particular blogger says they use it for seizures.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to know, do you juice it? Do you just eat it like a salad? Are you making it into your own dry capsule? I think it's important for people to know, especially since dosage is a hard thing to regulate and standardize with cannabis, because even though you grow all the same plant, it varies a little bit. All your levels will vary just slightly. It's not like the chemical process where you can get an exact number of whatever they put in there. So this is just, you know, it varies slightly, but thank you for that link. That's awesome. We're going to keep that, and we'll share that on Facebook.
And if you're one of those people that enjoy the psychoactive part of it, you know, we talked about the decarboxylation, you know, eating it raw, you're going to get a lot of THCA and some of the other cannabinoids, which you're not going to feel, the psychoactive part. You are going to get a sense of overall feeling of well-being.
Yes.
But it's going to be different. You're not going to get that head...
The head high.
The euphoric high.
Yeah, the people...
But you're going to get an overall sense of well-being in the whole body. And eating it whole, I say try it. If you haven't tried it, try tasting the plant.
Do I have a shocked look on my face? Do I look shocked? I just saw something in the news about eating it. Check this out. A cannabis cookie. Now, I don't know if this is true. You know, my mom used to say, believe none of what you read and half of what you see. Girl Scouts of America cookies are to receive a cannabis-infused trial. For fun.
Just looks okay.
Oh, it was yesterday, guys. Guess what? Oh, April Fool.
You know, they got me.
We did that on April 2nd. Oh, what did they call it?
Someone did that to me with the Marlboro coming out with the joint cigarette.
Look at the box. You guys, oh, my gosh. That is
hysterical. So funny. Now, did you see that the girls really raked it in during the Girl Scout Cookie Week in California?
When they
set up in front of the dispensaries.
Heck yeah,
you know,
man.
What the
drop a 20
idea?
Out front.
Oh,
20 inside.
Yeah.
You're good to go. Oh, man.
You're set for about an hour because those cookies,
yes.
That's about as long as they take to finish a whole sleeve.
Are you kidding? I can do that. I can do that in 3 minutes. Yeah, and sound guy's like, nope, two and a half at least. We got this.
You gotta have milk.
Although, I like... ice cold water when I have chocolate. I don't know.
Interesting.
Just one of those things. We're on azmarijuana.com right now where you can see our new groovy logo. It's awesome. We're getting ready to order some hats and pens and all sorts of really fun stuff.
Totally excited.
Oh, 420 is coming up, folks. Did you know that? Yeah. If you go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com, you can actually check out on the news page, there are some 420 events in Arizona going on. Right here in Tucson, SSDP, Students for Sensible Drug Policy, will be down at the University of Arizona. More details to follow. They're hosting an event with music and all sorts of organizations, and it's going to be awesome. And this is, there's a list of events on azmarijuana.com. This says it's the best holiday ever. 420 is here. It is time to start planning how you intend to celebrate the best holiday known to mankind, according to azmarijuana.com. Let's see here in Phoenix. We've got Compassion First is having a huge 420 celebration. They're having a 420 legalization awareness event with special guest appearances by Property 6 and others, and local jazz bands, blues, reggae artists. There will be tons of activities for patients and a huge day of provide medical marijuana awareness. Very nice. Education is key, we always say here. There's also Camp 420 celebration. They're having a peace rally and smokeout at Indian School Park.
What a perfect place for it.
This is a peaceful rally to help support the effort to end the prohibition of marijuana. The firehouse in Scottsdale is also having a 420 party, and that will be from 8 p.m. to closing with DJ Sunny performing. I don't know DJ Sunny. In Tucson, other than what's going on at the university with SSDP, if you live in southern Arizona, AZ for Normal and Chiba Hut, and we'll have an event, let's see, April 20th at 3 p.m. on the southwest corner of Broadway and Park. There's a worldwide marijuana march, and that's happened every year for years and years. John from AZ for Normal has been doing that for like 15 years or something. A long, long time. Thank you for doing that, John, and for bringing attention to everybody. And lots going on there. So let's see. Then the march ends at Chiba Hut with food, music, and activities.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah, sounds awesome. Let's see. You can get more information on those events at azmarijuana.com or az4, the number 4, normal, N-O-R-M-L.org. And they say here, and this is a good point, whatever you do this 420, do it legally. If you are still not a cardholder and need to get certified, go to Tumbleweeds Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103 in the back. Lowest price certifications, I think, in the state. I'm saying in the state. I'm going to go statewide.
Really?
$85 for the first time, $65 for renewal.
That's
flipping awesome.
No, AZ for Normal is having their meeting this... Second Saturday. Second Saturday.
Yep, second Saturday.
Just to throw it out there, 2 weeks early.
Yeah. Second Saturday. We're good. We don't have to panic on that one. Nope. And where else were we on that one? We have our historical timeline.
I have no idea where we are.
Now, we have our historical timeline that we had a blast reading from last week because we just learned so much we didn't know about our founding forefathers in history. And we're I don't know what happened. Maybe mom's for marijuana. We'll get her. We will. We'll try again. We're hoping to have...
Moms work hard.
They do. And you kind of can't, you know, sometimes you can't plan your mom day. Nope. Things happen in the middle of a mom day.
I've seen it happen.
Well, we're hoping to have some folks to talk about hemp coming on our show soon. And maybe the head of Tucson's new SSDP chapter, Students for Sensible Drug Policy. We would love to have them on the Wednesday before, the 16th, before 420, so they can talk about their awesome event coming up.
You know who I saw on the news the other day?
Who?
Cheryl Schumann.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Cheryl Schumann, what did she say?
She had a little excerpt on America Now. It's a little morning TV show, but she was talking about all of her medical cannabis and the medical edibles and cooking with it. She seemed like really, I saw her face.
Yeah, but you hadn't.
But I hadn't got to see her talk, so it was really interesting. And she's doing a lot of work out there, doing a lot of great things.
She is. She's all over the place.
And then they started getting into about the medibles and how great they are. And so it was a really, really good take on medibles and cannabis.
That's excellent.
She's heading up that rally.
She heads up a lot of rallies. She's our can of mama out there.
She could go to her
fortune
party.
Oh, dang it. That would be a good one. That'd be a heck of a drive. Well, I saw some news today, or yesterday even, it doesn't matter, but I like this. A steep drop in pot cases has freed up resources. A steep drop in charges filed against adults over 21 in Washington State after legalization of marijuana shows the new law is freeing up court and law enforcement resources to deal with other issues, a primary backer of the law said Wednesday. Imagine that.
Who knew? Everyone said it wasn't going to happen. And
look at that.
Look
the
at
state
that.
Chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU, found that such low-level charges were filed in just 120 cases in 2013, down from 5,531 cases the year before. Holy cow, from 5,000 to 100 and something. That's crazy. The data strongly suggests that I-502 has achieved one of its primary goals, to free up the limited police and prosecutorial resources, Mark Cook said. He's the Criminal Justice Policy Counsel with the ACLU. He said that in a news release, from over 5,000 arrests to 100. Ian Goodoo, Deputy Chief of Staff at the King County Prosecutor's Office, said, that hasn't been the case in his office. He said prosecutors handled only a few misdemeanor pot cases the day before the law went into effect. There's no great relief of workload, he said. All this meant is maybe our calendar in district court in the Seattle division is maybe instead of 46 cases in a day, 44, 43, 42. We're no longer filing misdemeanor marijuana cases, but we're not expending any significant resources on those cases. Cook concedes the law hasn't fundamentally changed what prosecutors do every day, but said when considered more broadly, I-502 has saved resources from basic investigation and filing paperwork to court time. He noted King County's adult misdemeanor pot cases fell from 1,435 in 2009 to just 14 last year. And holy cow, the time
that is,
and the energy and effort they do on just the paperwork, and
well, all the people that have to have their hands on all that paperwork.
Holy cow!
It goes to one department, to another department, to another department.
Oh my gosh!
And then you know who gets stuck with it, and then and then when
ridiculous.
If it does go to court,
defendant's time,
and money,
and tons of money. So there's the resources. So there's your fact. Fact, Jack. Wow.
Right.
Isn't that neat? That's good. So there you go. Proof is in the pudding right there. Alrighty. What you got?
I don't actually have anything.
Oh, my gosh. You can't say that.
Well,
I don't have a thing. I love it. Nothing. Not a thing. Yes.
I did want to talk a little bit back about, I found some information about holding in the cannabis.
Oh, you did?
Longer.
Oh, you were, okay.
Because I really, I didn't.
It can't, so don't take that as
I have this argument
what,
with my sisters.
Okay,
and
let's just say whatever you hear on the show, you know, it's not fact. We're doing our research as well, and we're reporting back to you what we find. We could find some false information, and so then we have to do disclaimers and blah, 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 and reprint. And you know, did you know you could get this show printed out if you wanted to? If you go to
our show,
yeah, they have
like our trans.
It's transcribed.
That's so awesome,
isn't it? Costs a little bit of money, like $150 a show. But wouldn't that be fun one time? We should get like one of the big anniversary shows transcribed.
We
see
should,
if they can do it.
We should
they
have nurse,
got, like,
Nurse Mary D. sit over in the corner and transcribe the whole show.
Bubbles in the background, bubbling noise, rippling noise.
We could have Nurse Mary D. Be our own transcriber. She could be saying Bell Star said.
Oh, it would be too intense.
It would be.
Oh, see, but the thing is, they just can't get tech guys responses over here, which is the most important thing. All right, so what did you find out about holding in your cannabis?
Yeah, you know, and
well, that's why people pass out.
And this could be for you. You know, it's your cannabis, it's your body, and we're not going to tell you how to use it. You know, if you want to hold it in for 20 seconds or longer until you cough and turn blue, that's fine.
Yeah.
We're just saying that
just not
you are going to get a lot more of that tar. That the THC...
You are what you hold in.
Well, yeah. The THC gets absorbed up very fast from the...
Yes.
capillaries in the lungs.
Yes, it does.
But the longer you hold that in, it also comes with the rest of the tar.
Yes.
Which holds that all in.
We don't want tar.
And then you don't want tar.
All right, tell us. Read
so
it.
So it says, I think we all have that friend that tries to hold in his or her hit of cannabis as long as they possibly can.
Arrowhead.
In an attempt to get higher. They swear that if you hold it in your hit of cannabis a little bit longer, you will get higher. Regards into which side is equal, I fell into, whether or not I believed holding in my hit of cannabis longer would get me higher. I have memories of smoking cannabis and hanging out with friends growing up and watching my friends try to hold it in as long as they could. I witnessed a couple friends pass out because they held their hit in so long. Luckily, none of them were ever hurt. We always debated whether or not holding in the hit of cannabis longer would make you higher.
Holding?
Holding? Holding in your hit. Oh, you're doing... would make you higher. Would make you higher growing up. And we didn't even...
Releasing.
And was that 20 seconds?
It was, yeah, and I did not like the effect.
You didn't like it?
No, it burns.
It burns. And
okay.
So, and you know, getting the same...
Holding.
We just did the scientific proof right
We're
here.
We're doing the research now.
So according to Steve Liebeck's book, The Cannabis User's Harm Reduction Handbook, which I think we should take a look at that.
Yes.
Take small, shallow tokes or pools. About 95% of the THC in cannabis smoked is absorbed in the first few seconds. So breathing and holding is quite pointless. All it really achieves is a far greater amount of tar being deposited into the lungs. The expert from Steve Lipkin's book did not have citations itself, so did not take that information for what you will. It seems more reliable of a source than some guy I heard from, though. What do readers think? So, you know, what...
Well, we just had two of three people try this little experiment.
I think it hurts my chest, and I don't like to cough. I think cannabis should be a calming effect. So when you're coughing, time you take a hit, that it shakes up your brain, your eyes, your chest.
Well, and it's not good on your lungs,
it's not good
your throat,
lungs at
your
all.
Body. And...
No. So short, small, shallow hits, and you will attain that same amount, and actually, you'll actually smoke less.
Yeah.
Because you're allowing...
You'll need to smoke less. Yeah.
Think of this as a medicine. Take it in slowly. Introduce
and
it to the body.
We know it's
don't
fun,
just
kids,
throw
and you
in.
Want to smoke the entire bowl, but you don't need to.
No, you don't need to.
don't
need to.
Maybe that's my
idea. Well, the same thing, and talking about, you know, I was telling people about using the hemp wick or something a little bit lighter than a lighter to ignite your cannabis.
Hemp wick?
You know, hemp wick really does work nice when lightly toasting your cannabis.
Because
you don't want
You're going to burn it.
You're
going to
burn it.
You're burning it. If you're
right.
Vaporizing, you're technically heating it. So here's the deal. If you're vaporizing, you're kind of melting the little THC molecules.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you get
inhaling that vapor.
And then you get the little brownish, singed.
Leftovers.
Like, yeah, toasted
cannabis. Yeah, heated up leftovers. Yeah. You can cook with or smoke it. Did you know about Carley's Law?
I
think that we, I think we read about this, but I just, every time I hear about Alabama, you have to say Alabama, they legalized cannabis for kids with seizures. Alabama is the newest state to legalize cannabis-derived medicine to help severely epileptic children. Governor Robert J. Bentley will sign a bill that shields patients and caregivers from prosecution for possessing cannabis if they have a debilitating epileptic condition and use or possess cannabidiol pursuant to a prescription authorized by the University of Alabama at Birmingham's Department of Neurology. Carley's Law does not legalize cannabis use. Only prescriptions of the non-psychoactive CBD extract of cannabis like Charlotte's Web, which has less than 3% THC, so it doesn't get you high. International researchers have been studying CBD and its effects for at least 3 decades, but most Americans only recently found out about CBD when CNN aired a documentary showing its 99% effective seizure-stopping power. After that, a Colorado cannabis migration has steadily been on the rise from families with epileptic members looking for relief. Dustin and Amy Chandler were one of those families that thought about moving from their small suburb of Alabama to Colorado for their 3-year-old daughter, Carly. She suffers from a rare form of epilepsy called CDKL5, and no doctor had ever recommended or mentioned CBD to them. Once we learned CBD was an option, we kept asking about it, but our doctors really couldn't discuss it at the time. Democratic State Representative Patricia Todd was the first lawmaker to get behind Carly's law after seeing her struggle back in 2013 in November. Representative Alan Farley also became invested after meeting epileptic kids and felt strongly about the bill passing so parents wouldn't have to uproot their entire lives and move to another state for medicine. Most of those patients are kids like Carly, who's 3 years old and have taken 8 different FDA-approved drugs, with some so strong it says right on the label that the pills could kill you. A number of these kids are on hospice because their next seizure might be fatal. And then you read about CBD having an incredible success rate while causing absolutely no harm to anybody, Farley commented. At 2 a.m. when the bill was proposed, Farley nervously said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I bring to you this morning Senate Bill 174, Carly's Law," and the cheering was like being at a college basketball game or the Super Bowl. The chant went up, "Vote, vote, vote, vote." All right, so he was extremely relieved and thought to himself, this is just the first chapter of a book that's going to be a miracle, and miracle after miracle. With it now approved, there's the small hurdle of figuring out some logistics. Of course, Charlotte's Web oil is only available in Colorado, so the state needs to figure out how to transport it to Alabama legally. There are other strains other than Charlotte's right. Web that are out there. Harlequin is a strain I've heard that's so high in CBD. Mm-hmm. There's something here in Arizona called Tsunami. Mm-hmm. So there are other strains out there that are as high in CBD that you can procure, get your hands on.
Getting your medicine tested.
You just have to do your research and make sure it's tested. Make sure it's bug-free and chemical-free and
no alien
organic. Yeah. Darn it. They never did land on the roofs of Tumbleweed Health Center. Maybe. Did you know that in 1850, marijuana was added to the U.S. pharmacopoeia? By 1850, marijuana had made its way into the United States pharmacopoeia, an official public standard-setting authority for all prescription and over-the-counter medicines. And it listed marijuana as a treatment for numerous afflictions, including neuralgia, tetanus, typhus, cholera, rabies, dysentery, alcoholism, opiate addiction, anthrax, leprosy, incontinence, gout, convulsive disorders, tonsillitis, insanity, excessive menstrual bleeding, and uterine bleeding, among others. Patented marijuana tinctures were sold back then. 1850, they knew about it back then. That's amazing. We have an amazing plant here that this is also part of why we didn't even get to the part of why I was reading from the Marijuana Chef Cookbook. They started talking about the different cultures
I can't wait for
that use cannabis. It's awesome. Come down and buy the book. It's just really swell. Right?
It is swell.
So, come to Tumbleweeds Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard and come get certified. We're in here in Tucson. And we're open these days. The doctors are certifying patients from 10 to 3 p.m. So come on down and get busy real fast.
Lots of information on cannabis.
You can walk right in. Oh, tons of information on cannabis.
Ask questions.
Walk-ins welcome. You do have to have, like the state requires now, you have to have medical records from within the last 12 months for the debilitating condition you want to get your card for. And it is supposed to be a chronic condition, so they want to see some supporting documents just to let everybody out there know. And also to remind people you're not going to be able to purchase or use cannabis until you get the little green card in the mail from the state of Arizona.
Now, Belle, if someone has back problems and is seeing a chiropractor on a regular basis, probably say for the last maybe 2 or 3 years.
Absolutely. That's absolutely chronic, and your chiropractor can diagnose that. You can use the hemp products that are down at Tumbleweeds Health Center that are high in CBD, less than 0.1% THC, so there's no high. People are reporting lots of great benefits, pain relief. They're getting help with nausea, and they're sleeping better with it.
And if you also want, we have some all organic vaping tonics down here, Holy Smokes.
Yes.
Here at Tumbleweed. Come on down and get your terpenoid on.
Yes. Get your terpenoid on. We would like to end this with a little music from Mama. Mama Kid, Mama Cannabis Kid.
This for you, Mom. A little bit of Yanni.
Yeah, a little bit of Yanni. Wake up and get moving. We would like to thank us for joining us this morning. Yay!
Thanks,
Sal. Thanks, Cannabis Kid.
Thanks, Sound Guy.
Thanks. We would also like to thank Blog Talk Radio, Growers House, Accurate Med Testing, Culture Magazine,
and
AVMarijuana.com. Oh, and Tumbleweed Health Center and Studio C for always hosting this glorious show. Glorious.
And really, it feels like there's like a build up here.
Wow, I feel like the can of gods are in the room. Stay tuned. More awesome shows. The mm-hmm. threat of Chicago Moms for Marijuana is still out there. They're awesome.
We've got some really great guests.
We're
going to
have some shows on hemp.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And hopefully SSDP will be joining us to tell us about their events coming up for 420.
Remember,
we'll let you know.
Yeah, get out there and get active in this. If it's something that you want to do, and I mean, the people are great. The things that are happening with this plant right now is, you know, it's definitely history. It's history
in the making.
Mm-hmm.
It is, definitely. Who else are we thinking here? Well, just come get certified. Thank you, Cannabis Kid, for always being a part of the show.
Tech
guy. Music's making me very grateful right now. All right, guys. Most importantly, remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and
educate. Weed Day Wednesday. Brought to you by TumbleweedTestCenter.com.
And viewers like you.
And listeners.